Well, let's return to yesteryear. 2 Timothy. I think we ended at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And everybody remember what that means? Gary?
I remember, but my brain isn't working quite well. I always think it means something, and I think you said it meant something different. It has to do with the...
You must live it. You must live it before you can talk about it. The fruit must be manifest in you before you can discuss it, before you can have any... It's the same as I'm determined to speak of nothing that has not been wrought in me by Christ Jesus. Amen? All right. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider is a word that means perceive with the mind. Again, we're back to this idea that there would be no difference between what you see and what is in you. That the testimony of our Lord is manifest both inside you and outside you. You on the pathway of being transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Your speech is seasoned with salt. Seasoned with eternity. You've brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And by that, you perceive and understand the gospel with your senses. You see it in everything. Amen? We talked about what understanding meant. It means running together or flowing with. I think we studied that, but let's go to Luke 2. Verse 45. Mr. Parents... We're looking for Jesus. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And the word understanding, synesis, it means a running together, a flowing with the mystery of God. Colossians, well, yeah, we did this, but let's do it again. Colossians 1. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That everything is, it's again, it's back, consider, know with your mind, see, perceive with the senses, that everything is flowing, if you will. I mean, you're one with it all. What, Gary?
I'm just always moved by the... fact of these men years ago, many years ago, prayed for us. And then I hear this prayer, and it's like they believe in this prayer, and what they believe, I believe. And then from that position, you read what it says, and the prayer's answered.
Okay, go over to 2:2. that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, synesis, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, flowing together, understanding. One more, Ephesians 3. Go backwards. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have, if is ice, in view of the fact you have heard of the administration or the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Understand is synesis. So there's a... And the reason flowing is so important, it's because, remember this scripture, Christ said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. The word deny there, you don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. And this thing of self-seeking that is a dam to all spiritual wisdom and knowledge and everything else, because everything is, you only see you. When that dam breaks, then everything flows. And that flowing is the first part of Jesus' name. It's Yesh. It's Yesh in the Hebrew. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, of life-giving water. But only to the thirsty, and only to the hungry, only to the poor. Otherwise, whatever is said will be translated into redemption of you, yourself. And so you will be blinded. There's no understanding at all. There's no flowing. There's no yesh. There's no breaking of the dam. Because all you do, the dam just becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, because now you've put the name of God on your dam. Your damn dam. All right, that's enough. Back to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember that strange word in English where it's pronounced mnemonics, but it's M-N? Well, that's the word for remember. You remember. You keep in mind always. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Now, why did he have to be of the seed of David? Ooh. If he wasn't of the seed of David, and if it couldn't have been proven by all of the unbelievably careful genetic records that were kept in the temple, then he couldn't have proven that he was the Messiah. And there's 162 scriptures or something like that in the Old Testament that he fulfilled in his person. Now, if he wasn't of the seed of David, then none of that could have happened. Because remember, everything that happened in the Old Testament was to the protection of that seed. So that seed of David, going back to the seed of Abraham, was always protected. Now, it's easy, and everybody, remember, the Antichrist will say that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and the Antichrist says he will come in the flesh. But the only the Spirit of God can confess that he is come in the flesh. And that is the great dividing line between all of the false gospels. Now, the only question is, what is the location of his being resurrected from the dead? He was resurrected from the dead in history, but that if that's only true, then all he can be is a philosophy. You must come to the understanding that he was raised from the dead in you. Examine yourself. Prove to your own self. Know you not your own self? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Remember, reprobate means one incapable of repentance. Not according to the world. Anybody can repent according to the repentance of the world. Oh, I'm sorry, I did that, and I promise I'll do better the next time. That's foxhole repentance. But the repentance of God, the repentance not to be repented of, is the abandonment, the reckoning of your death and his life, therefore the abandonment of you. And it's complete. So, remember, keep in mind, remember, all the struggles you've had for so many years. It's because you didn't keep this in mind. You didn't truly believe that Jesus Christ was in you, so you had to take action. You had to do something. And God has put millions of obstacles in your path your whole life. But you obstinately and determinedly forged on ahead until you can't forge on ahead anymore. You were wearied in the greatness of your way, but you said not, there is no hope, for you found the life of your own hand over and over and over and over ad nauseam. Walk, and you walked in the light of these sparks, these ideas that you have kindled. No matter how great you think they are, the promise of God is this: shall you have of my hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. And if you don't know that by now, then you're a fool. You've got a new thing that's going to give you life. No. That the seed, remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. No, let me better read it. Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Whenever the word seed is used, in the Old Testament it's Zeruah. It's sometimes translated the arm of the Lord or the right arm. But it's the seed, the posterity. That's pretty close. But in the New Testament it's obvious. The seed is exclusively used, the word sperma, where we get our word sperm, obviously. Unless that seed is living and you have died, then this mystery of God is nothing more than a philosophy. And you know how I really, really love philosophy. It's abhorrent. It's ridiculous. It's spiritual masturbation. What?
I'm just amused, that's all. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Everything from the beginning, from Genesis 3, when the seed of the woman doesn't have a sperm. So it is the virgin birth. It is the son. The seed of the woman would bruise the head, overcome, destroy the head of the serpent. But the serpent would bruise his heel. Everything from that point forward is about this one singular thing, the seed of God. And everything that's towards the revelation of that end is in the New Testament called agathos, or good. Everything that is the antithesis of that end is called kakos, or evil. Now, woe unto him that calls good evil and evil good. Now, we've all done it. And it's so mind-bendingly... What's the problem now is we have teachers of the Word of God, preachers of the Word of God, that are calling evil good and good evil. God help them. So let's look at the seed. Let's go to Romans 4. Now let's go back. Let's go to Genesis 4. Genesis 3. So we can all see where it starts.
Genesis chapter 3.
Verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, by thy belly you shall be led, by your appetites you shall be led, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, it, the seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The mind, from the beginning in all the ancient literature, the mind, the metaphor for the mind was the snake. Unless you believe in talking snakes. Well, God could have made the snake talk.
Jackass talk.
He made the jackass talk. He's making a jackass talk right now.
Which one?
Me. But it's interesting that the same words are used. The carnal mind is enmity against God. I will put enmity between thee and her. Many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, their belly. Upon your belly shall you be led. Your appetites lead you. All right. Genesis 4.
Genesis
25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Or they begin to call themselves by the name of the Lord. Now, in Wednesdays we're studying the gospel and the stars, the meaning of the constellations. And all of the ancient authorities, even the Hebrew ones, obviously, but also the Arabic and Egyptian, they ascribe the one who named the stars, the name the constellations that have continued down through the ages that reveal this one mystery. They ascribe that to Seth. Seth to Enoch to Shem.
What do they ascribe to Seth?
The naming of the signs of the 12, the figuring out the whole procession of the equinoxes and the mystery of the meaning of the 12 signs of the zodiac and the.
I thought Abraham had a lot to do with that, didn't he?
Well, he continued it, but because he was taught by Shem, supposedly on the. When Shem started the Minoan culture, the great mystery culture in the Mediterranean. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Genesis 13. Verse 14, and the Lord God said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land, and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So anyway, we could go through the whole thing, and all the wars and all of the bloodshed that was just done just simply to protect the seed. So this is where we get this idea that I heard it again over the weekend when I was watching religious television, that somehow God was different in this age, because he was vengeful God then. But now, because the son was born unto him, now he's a sweet, loving, and he loves everybody, and he throws around sloppy agape, and blah, 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 blah. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. There's no differences of how he responds to people or not. There's no dispensations. All right. Romans 4. Remember, we're setting seed. This is all talking about Abraham. Abraham was the perfect Christian. In verse 14, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. But where are the promises seated? The promises are in the seed." Let's go to Galatians 4. Or Galatians 3, I mean.
That's pretty obvious when you look at it, that it's obviously not in man as the seed, because it's not true.
Right, think of the two great lies that everybody buys. The brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. If you tell people that you're an idiot for believing that, they'll kill you. There's no brotherhood of man, and there's no fatherhood of God except for the Son. He is the only begotten. Jesus was the last Adam. If he was the last Adam, who are you? You've always been a vessel for deity. Problem is, it's the wrong God. As long as it's self for self, self-seeking, self-realization, self-becoming, then you're a vessel for the God of this world. You are the instead of Christ. You are the Antichrist. Your number is 666. You have a mark in your forehead and a mark in your hand.
That's what Jesus told the Pharisees, that their father was...
You were of the Father... He told that to the Jews that believed on him. You are of the Father, you are of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. That's all he's capable of doing is lying. Oh, we can't believe that. We got to believe this nice God that's the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. Think of that hypocrisy. Everybody knows it's not true. If you have any integrity, look around. All right. Verse 13, chapter 3. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us," or instead of us. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth in a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be of a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." There's nothing else. That's all. It's gone. It's done. Now go down to verse 4:21. "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" Now what does that mean? Does it mean you desire to go back under the law of 613 laws of Moses? No. It means nomos is the word for law. It means the way a thing works according to what you see, and it's If you desire to be under the law, if you desire to live by cause and effect, do you not hear the law? Now, everybody says, no, I don't want to be under the law, until you're faced with waiting, with no evidence that something is going to happen. A little bit?
Amen.
Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaiden, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. Now, Paul, I mean, can you imagine Paul saying this to the Jews and telling them that the one was from Mount Sinai where the law was given, that this is Hagar, and it created Ishmael? It created Islam? For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answerest to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. It'll always be that way. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Now they're not talking about externally. You cast out yourself. You get divorced from yourself. You deny yourself. You abandon self. You have lost the I motive. So, brethren, we are not the children or seed of the bondwoman, but of the free. It's so simple. Any comments? Any questions? Kevin?
Think about the bruising part. We continue to bruise his heel.
Amen. We impede him walking. Remember, he cannot occupy where you are. His humility is so great. He can wipe you out in a breath. But he wants you transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Amen?
Amen.
Meeting at 8:30 in my office for the elders and eldresses and all that good stuff. Take it, big guy.